Church, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you feeling this morning? I'm glad you're good because I'm feeling very, very good this morning. So this week has been one of those weeks where you just rejoice. Like, you look at everything that's going on around you, but you still choose to rejoice. And I've had a song in my heart, actually, this whole week. And this morning, I was just, I actually do most of my singing at my house. And not in the church, because I believe the scripture says, shout to the Lord, and not scream to the Lord. And I believe that once I start singing, I'm screaming to the Lord, and not making a joyful noise. So, but the song that was on my heart this morning was, I've got joy, 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 down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Tuesday, I'm really happy, so really happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. So that's the song that's been playing in my heart, and I know all the colored folks are looking at me like, oh, what about me? I'm like thinking about you too, because I've also got a song for you. It can't feel like this, my this week came from, I don't know who saw my status messages on WhatsApp this week, because there were some pictures that I looked at of my own self, and I wonder if the guys are ready at the back there to show us some of the pictures. I was still being saved. I think I was around about 16 years old here. And I was still trying to figure out life. You can see by the glasses I have like two earrings there. Next picture, please. This was when I was still a gangster also. Actually trying to be a gangster. That's my gangster name, the G-Man. And you can see by the corals and stuff. Still trying to figure out life. Next picture. This is when I was just graduating from Bible school. As you can see, there's Pastor Anton on the right, your left, and that is me. And as I'm as happy as I can be. Look at that smile. And everybody's asking me this question, but what happened? Because that is, like a skinny moja. And now we've got the overs by stepping in front of you. What has happened? And the next picture, touchdown. So this joy that I've been experiencing this week came from a place of, understanding that, God turns ashes into beauty. And if you look at those pictures of me, I was still trying to figure out, right? I don't know what was happening actually with me. Like, I think I look cool, but I know for the fact that, now that I look at the pictures, it's like, yeah, it's your cool. But that's what Jesus can do in your life, and I believe that Jesus works for everybody. Jesus doesn't just work for Moshe, he works for each and every individual. So we can rejoice today. We can rejoice in the fact that when our God looks at us, he calls us by our name. When the enemy calls us by our sin, you understand that? So Satan calls us by what we are doing and our sin, and Christ calls us by our name because he has a purpose and he has a calling for us. Amen to that, brothers and sisters. Please look at your neighbor and say, you go, my name. I've been learning my Afrikaans, okay, so my whole sermon is going to be in Afrikaans. Genade. That's where it stops. somebody said to me this week, Moja, you know, just be you. Just be you. Like, you know, don't try to be anything else. Just be who God has called you to be. And I'm just like, you know, it is simple, but seriously, sometimes we miss it. We try to be something else that God hasn't called us to be. I remember like the beginning of this year, all of a sudden I was this serious guy. And some people came to me and said, like, where's that smile? And I'm like, what smile? That smile, where's Moja? And I'm like, what do you mean, where's Moja? And I was confused. Then I realized that, you know, this year was that year of like, what is going on? What am I trying to be? Like, am I trying to please people around me? Am I supposed to be a certain way for people to fit in with people? And I realize I've been, you know, in my fitting in, I'm actually robbing you. And I'm also robbing myself. Because it's not, if I'm going to pretend to be the serious oak, oh my God, please, I need that. So I need to be who God has called me to be. So this joy also started from first day. It was a ministry where the brothers just broke loose. No, they didn't escape prisoner. Let me explain that. They didn't escape. They just broke free in praise and worship. And it was just this amazing time. We had the presence of the Lord. And we are dancing and we are shouting. And it's amazing. And I'm like, we've got a freedom to worship God. We've got a freedom to worship God. But sometimes it's like we worship God according to how we feel. We worship God according to what is happening around us. And praise and worship is never meant to be tied down by how we feel. Praise and worship is actually our weapon for faith. We worship through everything that is happening in life. And the message this morning is called The Cost of Breakthrough. So, this message also came from last week as Yanni was just leading worship. And she was just speaking and she said, the Lion of Judah is roaring. The Lion of Judah is roaring. And I've been chatting to most of my friends this week and I've just been getting a sense that God is wanting to work in our hearts again. That God wants us to know that breakthrough is coming. But it's coming. It's coming and it's going to cost something. And everybody's like, I'm here. But this is what it's going to cost us. Our undivided devotion. Our undivided time. The type of devotion that, you know, as scripture says in Psalm 27, David speaking says, you know, when you said, seek my face, my heart responded to you and said, your face I will seek. That type of devotion that David had with the Lord. And God is wanting us to behold him and fix our eyes on him in this time. And I'm just wanting to encourage a few people, and I love that the words came out this morning. That, you know what, if you've been underwater for a while, then he's coming. God is coming. God is going to break through everything that's been happening in your life. And you know, this didn't start just like with Richard. Pastor Richard, 3 weeks ago, he grabbed the mic and he said, church, breakthrough is coming. And in intercession, the Lord showed us how we're going to fight this. Praise and worship. Praise and worship does something for us as a people. It moves our attention for us. So once you begin to worship in spirit and in truth, then you realize something bigger is out there, something greater is out there. God, the bigger is out there. I'm not going to focus on myself. Because the more I focus on myself, the more I'm going to drift away from God. But the more I focus my attention on him, the more close I'm going to be with him. So, you see, right now, depending on where you are in life, you need to understand that you need to push through into the presence of God. You need to push through into the presence of God. Don't throw in the towel. I mean, like most of us sometimes, like we pray once and we feel like, it should change. Things should begin to change because I've said hallelujah, praise the Lord. But sometimes you have to push through in your prayers. And we find this scripture in 1 Kings 18, verse 41 to 46 this morning. Then Elijah said to Ahab, go up and eat. Go up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain.
So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, "Go up now, look toward the sea." So he went up and looked and said, "There is nothing." And seven times he said, "Go again." But it came to pass the seventh time that he said, "There is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea." So he said, "Go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariots and go down before the rain stops." There's an abundance of rain coming. What was Elijah doing every time he sent his servant to go look? He kept on praying. Church, we need to keep on praying. We need to keep on praying. We need to keep on seeking the Lord. Yes, we understand that, you know, the breakthrough is coming. The abundance of rain is coming. But in that, there's preparation. We need to be on our knees. We need to be on our knees. We cannot just be like, okay, it is coming. I'm just going to relax. I'm just going to relax and do nothing. You know, waiting on God is not a passive thing, but an active thing. It's an active thing that means that you are praying, you are seeking the face of God, you are fasting, and you're like, okay, God, in this moment, in this space, I'm just going to focus on you. I'm going to focus on you. You need to keep on praying, church. Let's look at Luke 18, verse 1 to 8. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Saying there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard men. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, "Get justice for me and for my adversary." And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, "Though I do not fear God nor regard men, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." Then the Lord said, "You are the unjust judge, said. He shall not run away from his own neck and cry out day and night. Though he bears wrong with them, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" Always need to pray and not lose heart. In every situation, we need to be persistent in our prayers and really seek the face of God. God will come through for us. But, church, we need to pray. We really need to pray. And what strikes me about this passage is the fact that Jesus asked this question: when he comes back, will he find faith? Will he find faith? When you look at your life right now, ask yourself this: will Christ find faith? Like, will you know that, okay, Moja has faith? Or has Moja been grumbling all this time? Moja's been losing heart. What is happening, church? I understand that this is not one of the messages that you can, you know, spring and jump for joy. Let's go save the world. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But it's a message where we need to pause and just consider our hearts, right? Consider our hearts and ask ourselves, do we really have faith? Is there faith in the bride of Christ? And there's this quote that I love reading, and it's by Leonard Ravenhill, and he says this: "No man is greater than his prayer life. The pastor who is not praying is playing. The people who are not praying are straying. We have many organizers, but a few agonizers. Many players and payers, and a few prayers. Many singers, few clingers. Lots of pastors, few wrestlers. Many fears and a few tears. Much fashion, little passion. Many interferers and a few intercessors. Many writers, but a few fighters." And he says this: failing here, we fail everywhere. Failing here, we fail everywhere. Luke 8, verse 1 to 15. "So it was when Jesus returned that the multitude welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house, for he had only one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she was dying. But as he went," speaking about Jesus, the multitude from the mouth, a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her life among physicians, could not be healed by any, came from behind him and touched the collar of his garment, and immediately a flow of blood stopped. Listen to this, church. So this woman is in suffering, and we know these scriptures. We know all of these scriptures that I'm reading. Sometimes it's like we need to believe what we are reading. Like Yanni said, when we sing these songs, do we actually believe what we are saying? Do we believe it? When we look at scripture, do we believe what we are reading? Or is it just for those people back then and not for us? The word applies to us also. The word applies to us also. So this woman, having this flow of blood for 12 years, she knows that Jesus is coming through. And what she does is, there's a crowd of people. And she says, only if I can connect, only if I can touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. And some of us, it's like, we know that, you know, once we connect with Jesus, once we connect with Jesus, not everything is going to be super legit. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to preach like, you know, the prosperity gospel. I'm not preaching that. But once you connect with Jesus, things begin to change in your life. Okay. Can somebody help me? Amen. Once you connect with Jesus, things begin to change in your life. And this woman looked at the crowd. You know what? She could have decided, okay, there's so many people I am not going to go through right now. But what did she do? What did she do? You know, I'm going to choose this crowd. Yes, my God, for today. You know, the woman saw the crowd. I'm going to stop on that side. The woman saw the crowd. And you know what? She didn't do it. Excuse me. Let me just get you. She knew Jesus is on the other side. She knew that Jesus was on the other side. So she came. She was just bashing the people. Just bashing everybody. Just bashing everybody. I need to get... But she knew, like, you know, Jesus is on the other side. And I need to be where Jesus is. You know, you can look at your situation and be like, but Jesus is too far. But you need to draw closer to him in order for him to draw nearer to you. That's the promise of scripture. That if we draw closer to Jesus, he will draw nearer to us. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Somebody say, preach it, brother. Church, we need to be more persistent. We need to be like this woman. We need to push through. Let's not look at our circumstances and let it determine how we feel. Let's not look at, like, you know, there's this thing that sometimes, you know, that we do. We look at other people's lives and we're like, and they have it so good. And they feel like not good enough. Because everybody else, and it's called the crazy syndrome. Everybody else on Facebook. L-O-L, Lord. And you look at their pictures and you see them dancing. And you're like, but I have not used my phone. And then you get what you call the Facebook depression. And you're like, but I cannot do this thing. And you know, Congregation says something amazing. And it's like, if the grass was greener on the other side, there's probably more manure on the other side. And I was laughing. I was like, and sometimes those people are having fun. Okay? But don't let that distract you. That you're not having fun. That you're not having fun. That life is not happening for you. It doesn't mean that, you know what, life is not happening to you right now. God is just wanting you to pause for you so that you can work with your heart. Let's continue reading. Luke 11, verse 5 to 10. And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him and pray for him and say to him, friend, let me eat loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, Do not trouble me. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to them. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to them, because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise. So I say to you, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Open and the door will be opened for everyone who has received. And he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. And I just wanted to share a quick testimony with this. Growing up, my mom struggled with alcohol since she was born. And I could never understand why it's not a certain way. Then, as I was growing up, then mom told me, from young, she never knew her mom nor her dad. So she was an orphan, which in some way my grand took her in. So, but from that space, it's like she never felt welcome in the family. So she started drinking at a very young age. And she kept on drinking and then drinking and drinking. And obviously, as a family, we took a massive knock. Because my dad doesn't drink at all. And when my mom drinks, then there's fights that's happening, that's taking place in the house. And sometimes at a point where I have to stand between my parents, stop throwing the punches. Let me be your punching bag. Kind of hit me and not each other. So it was that rough for us. And since 2007, I decided that I was going to pray for my mom. 2008, no change. 9, no change. 10, no change. 11, no change. 12, nothing yet. 2013, 2014, I couldn't give it up. You'd be like, you know what? I'm done praying for you. But because I looked at what was happening in our hearts, and I understood that Christ saved a sinner like me, there is grace for all people also. And my mom, today, she's serving the Lord. You guys understand that? The power of persistence when you choose to persist, to be persistent in your prayers. Guys, I'm not saying, you said something once, and it's like, sometimes the situation might not change. And it doesn't mean that you stop praying. You see, we are so used to the whole preaching, serve God and everything will go amazing. We are used to hearing stuff like that. And that is not the true gospel. That is not the true gospel. But we never stop praying. We never stop praying. And I got to say, church, when God prepares us for breakthrough, when He prepares us for breakthrough, it's actually building in us the stuff that we need for the next phase of our lives. So where you are right now doesn't mean that God has forgotten about you. And I know that I'm speaking about, there's an abundance of rain coming. But in that, there's preparation that God needs to work in our hearts. He instills in us what is needed for the next season. So while we wait for the breakthrough, Christ might be able to break you. You understand that, church? While we're waiting, Christ will be showing us, listen, but I still need to clip some stuff in life. I need to clip some stuff in your life. See, breakthrough is rewarded by me. John 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, it takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You already live because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Just until then, we need to be connected to Jesus. In the season while we wait, While we wait for whatever God is going to do in our lives, we need to remain connected. Abide in Him. Abide in the Lord. And in us waiting, church, it's going to get uncomfortable. I get there. But God needs to cut away. God needs to cut away certain things in our lives. And this year, God began to cut once again in my mind. And it is not pleasant when it's happening. It is really not pleasant when it's happening. But God is glorified and very much happier. So I am that beard that I do with his prayers. Lord, do whatever it takes to get my attention. And God does that. And then I'm like, why did I pray this once again? And then, you know, you surround yourself with people that don't feel sorry for you, actually. Like, I'm always with David in the office. He, you know, I love him so much because he always speaks it to me. He always tells me what I need to do. And then it's like, you know, when I go to the ministry and I think I can bend a bit, and he says, I need a ninja. And I'm just like, you know, it's good to have people like that. But sometimes you just want to be like, come on, man. But it's like, you know what, David tells me like this. 1, 2, 3, and I'm like, it's fine. Then I go to my office, then I come out later and I ask Nathan, can we go for coffee again? Then we go, and we have those heart-to-heart chats. And then he points out stuff in my life, and I'm like, okay, I'm also going to point out some stuff in your life. And then we build each other in that moment. Because we know that, you know, in order for us to draw closer to God, certain things in our life has to fall. Certain things in our lives, church, you cannot carry on as you were 20 years ago when you served the Lord. I still believe that you're saved. Certain things must just fall. I mean, like, you know, we hear this must fall, this must fall, petrol prices must fall, comfort must fall. I'm sorry. No, I'm not. Let's carry on. But it is true. Let's actually focus on that for now. Just for a couple of minutes. Comfort must fall. Why must comfort fall, church? Because unless we are uncomfortable, the comforter will not work in our lives. Who is the comforter? The Holy Spirit. And he, what is his function? Not just to comfort us, but to also convict us of sin, righteousness and justice. So we always think, I'm a comforter. Yes, he is the comforter, but he's also going to convict you of certain things in your life. That's why I'm saying, once you receive Christ, you cannot stay the same. Because like, you're going to look at the things that you were doing, and then you're like, I cannot. Because there's that type now in your heart that I cannot carry on the way I was. And then you pray the brave prayers, Lord, use me. And once the Lord begins to work in you, because he wants to use you, then you jump off and you're like, this is what I signed up for. You need to stay on track with Jesus. You need to let the Holy Spirit convict you. Whether you like it or not, it's for your own good. It's for your own good. Listen to this, Hebrews 12. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. Don't be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? And if you are without chastening, of which we all become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers, human fathers, who corrected us and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and death? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them. But God does not call a prophet when we partake of certain holiness. And when it's happening, it's interesting.
When it's happening, it's not what you want, but it's definitely what you want. Mm-hmm. So yes, while we wait for the Lord, while we wait for the abundance of rain, we also need to be prepared in our hearts. We need to be prepared in our hearts. We need to ask and we need to seek the Lord and ask the Father what is in my heart that may hinder me in the next season of my life. What is there in me, God, that you need to take away? So God, he breaks us to make this change. And it is for our own good. It is for our own good. Can we get the man up here, please? And I'm wanting to say, church, while we actually wait on the Lord, I'm just going to give a few scriptures for us. 1 Corinthians 15, 10, 15. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Galatians 6, 9. And let us not grow weary of doing good, but in due season we will reap good and not give up. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17. Pray without ceasing. Philippians 1:6, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion in the day of Jesus Christ. Romans 15:13, may God fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abide and hold. So the church, right now, the abundance of rain is coming. We need to cling on to Jesus. We need to cling on to Jesus. We cannot afford to lose sight of who he is. As he says, is that he is a reward of those who diligently seek him. Let us continue in our pursuit of God.
Though you slay us, not yet we praise you. Though you ruin us, not yet we praise you.